Hey everyone, Jared here. Wanted to provide a quick update before we start the core episode. So we're back. We got Joe and Will back for this one too. Moving forward, they will be here and not here sometimes. They are busy. Joe is a father. They have other obligations. That's totally fair. We love them anyway. But they have the open invitation and green light to be here whenever they have time and whenever they want. We're still going to have those kind of free-flowing episodes that we used to do, just about, you know, what we've been seeing online and basketball and everything. So those will still be happening, but we will also be adding into the mix some more focused episodes, some single subject deep dives. Some examples we are working on is a full episode on sports betting. We have an episode we will be working on about Heat culture and the timeline of that, whether that has been good or bad, yet to be seen, and some other surprises. So thank you for turning in, and welcome back if you are a returning listener, and welcome if you are new. Now on to the episode. I guess okay, we're back. It's me, Jared. It's Will.
Hello.
It's Joe.
We are so back. I had technical problems right before this.
And now we have Nathan.
To solve our technical problems.
Yeah.
Woo!
All right. Well, I want to dive in really quick. I want to read you guys a tweet that a sentence that's never ever been said before. I think this is like a real testament to how much has changed in the last, what, 3 or 4 years. This is from Polymarket Sport, the official Polymarket Sports account. Just in, Jeffrey Epstein is more likely to be confirmed alive than the Bucks are to make the playoffs.
Wow, a shot at Joe straight off the bat.
Unbelievable.
But how do we feel about that?
Do they list the what are the relative odds for each of those, just out of curiosity?
I'm going to this website right now. So which teams will make the NBA playoffs? The Bucks are at an 11%.
They think there's a better than 11% chance. Maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe.
Okay, now
I'm in the sheeple.
That is going against God. I hate that we're like just talking about betting. And this is not a pro betting podcast. Jeffrey Epstein confirmed to be alive before 2027. Currently at 6% chance.
Okay, markets fluctuate. That makes
so
sense.
It has fluctuated a little bit.
Did the Bucks get a win last night? Is that
must have been a. How old is this tweet?
Rumors.
This is from yesterday. So,
rumors of Doc Rivers being fired. Bucks playoff chances shoot up.
Literally.
Yeah. Overnight. That must have. I think there's some inside trading with how that was posted.
Yeah. They can't even be honest about that. What can they be straight up about in the betting market? That's why we're not sponsored.
That's why.
Yep. That's exactly why. Not the threats we've had to edit out multiple times.
Ethical. We're just too ethical. Yes.
Okay, well, speaking of ethics, I have another one for you guys. Okay. Have you guys seen the Atlanta Hawks special collab happening?
I did.
Will
I did.
Has.
It made the sidebar of like ESPN's like 10 big headlines or whatever, the mini ones.
I did not, so... Hold on, let me see if I can guess. So it's a collab.
Yeah, they're doing a collaborative night, and they're doing merch.
Collaborative night and doing merch.
I want you to think about the city of Atlanta. I especially want you to think of Lou Williams.
Well, it's got to be either wing related or the place he was going when he said it was wing related.
That's correct.
Yes.
That is correct.
Wait, which part is correct? Both?
No, it's not wing related at all.
Yeah.
It's the official Magic City theme night.
Oh, man.
For the Hawks. An Atlanta institution, I believe is how they phrased it.
Wow.
Now, to be clear, there has been pushback from a specific individual in the league.
But wait, are we going to be able to guess who it is? Spencer Hawes isn't in the league anymore. Who would it be? Jonathan Isaac. It's got to be Jonathan Isaac.
It's not.
Oh, crap.
You ready?
Yeah.
Luke Kornet is asking the Hawks to cancel their Magic City night, saying that it's disrespectful to women. In quotes, the NBA should desire to protect and esteem women, many of whom work diligently every day to make this the best basketball league in the world. We should promote an atmosphere that is protective and respectful of the daughters, wives, sisters, mothers, and partners that we know and love. Allowing this night to go forward without protest would reflect poorly on us as an NBA community, especially in being complicit in the potential objectification and mistreatment of women in our society. It's hard to criticize him when he's coming from a good place, I think, but at the same time, like...
You know, at the end of the day, it's like the cornet contest of statements. He took a big leap and he might have affected the shot.
Ah, man. I didn't expect there to be like, oh my god, this other team shouldn't be doing this club.
No, really. Is he a Spur now? He's in San Antonio, Luke Kornet.
Yeah. I feel like if he was somehow being asked to participate in it in some way, I could see like, okay. You're not comfortable with that. I guess I get it, but
yeah, that'd be one thing.
You are several states away.
As okay, someone, well, he is Catholic. I just found this out right now.
Joins an illustrious list. Any other Catholic confirmed NBA players besides was it Kobe Bryant?
Shoo. Okay. What is next, Nathan? Do you want to get this next one?
Yeah. This is about LaMelo Ball terrorizing the city of Charlotte. He recently got a car accident driving. I think he was driving his Hummer, and I believe he hit an Uber. And then, just like minutes later, he got out of his car and got into his Lamborghini and just drove off. No charges have been pressed or anything. They're just kind of letting him go.
I think I saw the clip. Isn't his Hummer like camo?
Yeah, and like the wheel popped right off.
Yeah, like it just completely fell apart. Like it was made of plastic, entirely plastic.
I know he's a talented guy, but I feel like giving LaMelo Ball like immunity from the law is as egregious as giving Bradley Beal a no trade clause. Like, come on, that should be reserved for a slightly higher caliber of player.
How many infractions has he had so far?
I just remember him driving the go-kart on a rooftop of a building somewhere.
That was like a week after he like ran over a fan's foot.
Yeah, it was.
By the way,
so crazy that his contract does not have him barred from driving. Like, wasn't it they had to put in Giannis's contract that he wasn't allowed to ride his bike to the games?
Yeah,
because he almost got in a wreck, and they were like, "What are you doing? Stop that!"
He also tried having a rummage sale one time, and the top brass had to be like, no.
They can't make me hate him.
Yeah, this was like not that long ago. Like, this is not even like rookie Giannis, I don't think. It was like a couple of years in the league, Giannis. And it was like, he's like, yeah, I'm moving. I'm just kind of getting rid of some stuff.
You wouldn't want to come in my house.
Yeah. A lawsuit was filed in 2024 alleging that Ball sped out of the Spectrum Center and ran over the foot of an 11-year-old child who was seeking an autograph. So, Will, have you seen him around? Have you been kind of...
I was in Charlotte.
You've been waiting an extra second when the green light hits?
I was in Charlotte this weekend, and I am here, well, now live from the Wizards Court, to tell you that he was not at the Pokemon card convention in Charlotte. He was steering clear. He heard that we were on watch for his antics, and he decided not to show up.
Shocking.
Yep. But if he was a Pokemon, and I don't have one prepared, so I'm going to have to come up with one really fast here, but I think he would be... I'm going with Blacephalon.
Okay.
yeah. I was thinking like if he was the trainer, who would his like partner Pokemon be?
Okay. Where were you? Did you land anywhere?
I did not land anywhere. I worked faster with it than I was. But I'm picturing him. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I know
he was along the right track for sure. Mm-hmm.
I feel like you would just pick Charizard. I feel like that's all he knows.
Yeah, that's accurate.
No, he'd be wrong. Like, yeah, let me start with Charizard. And you're like, no, you have to start with Charmander. And be like, no, I'm starting with Charizard. Give me the shiny one, too.
Six legendaries, definitely.
He clearly has a thing for fire, though. Have you guys, Nathan and I were talking about this earlier today. Have you seen his tattoo, his Cheeto tattoo?
No.
This flaming hot Cheeto tattoo, at least inspired.
Oh my God.
I need you guys to like, I'm going to show you guys and then we'll describe it.
I haven't seen it and I'm already assuming it's the second worst tattoo in the
empire. Yeah, no, it is.
It is the worst.
So much worse than I thought it was.
It's so much worse.
He has hot Cheeto tattoos on his toes.
No, I hate that.
Yeah.
Real, by the way.
Gave Mello the hot Cheetos. Oof.
Do you think that he came up with the idea for the tattoo first, or like he just like came up with the name and then decided to go through with it?
I feel like he has a thing for hot Cheetos though, because during that press conference that he walked out of in the middle of the other day when they asked him about that car accident, he was wearing like these hot Cheeto branded like boxers.
Oh yeah, he has hot Cheeto shoes too.
Yeah, so he's like a. I feel he like likes this hot Cheetos.
I feel like this is an attempt to cover up having athlete's foot.
What is that burning feeling?
If I see someone walk into the shower with literally flaming red toes, I'm going to be really mad.
Yeah, I'm pissed.
It's some tenactin.
Ooh.
Okay. We have an athlete's foot expert over here.
We have commercials from my childhood that I can't get out of my head expert. John Madden advertising tough actin tenactin for athlete's foot.
So what do we want to get into next? There's a lot.
I do have good news regarding LaMelo Ball.
Okay.
This is from Portside Buzz IG on Instagram. And they say, LaMelo Ball is seen driving a lot more careful in Charlotte after his recent car accident.
This is great news.
So,
thank God.
The people of Charlotte can breathe easy.
Lord, carry him now.
He's got conch nipple in his ear, like the most cautious man in the world, I imagine. Just like, hey, buddy.
I would also just like to add that when I Googled LaMelo Ball just to try to see any of this, none of this is the first thing that came up. Sports Illustrated was the first thing that came up with an article about his girlfriend's toxic confession.
What?
Anna Montana.
What would that be?
She said on Instagram, POV, you realize everything you've been using your whole life is toxic, and now you have to relearn how to exist. To be clear, there's nothing to suggest that Montana's post has anything to do with LaMelo Ball, and her caption being, welcome to my non-toxic luxury girl era, suggests it's more about the product she uses in her everyday life, but still an interesting message to share. That is on sportsillustrated.com, folks.
It is
an interesting message.
Wait, I love the idea that the girlfriend of the hot Cheeto fiend is going like health nut the route. Surely that will go well.
I have good news. Her personality, in her caption, she said her personality is now glass bottles, organic cotton, and filtered water.
Wow. So no hot Cheetos.
She's cutting them out.
Okay.
More for him. Maybe that's why he got the toes done, so she could enjoy them in spirit.
I feel like within a year, we're going to see him miss a game due to stomach issues.
I thought you were going to say toe infection.
Or that.
Feel like, back to his Pokemon partner, feel like toxic is like the number one move that Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Just like spewing toxic sludge. Maybe like a Grimer or a Muk. I could see that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that like poison electric type Pokemon from Sword and Shield?
Toxtricity?
Yeah.
Ah, okay, yeah. Either the yellow-purple or the teal-purple. Uh-huh. Either of those varieties, yeah.
Yeah, one of the
purple Hornets colors. All right, now we're
he's out with him depending on his mood, you know. He would wear, you know, like the different watch in a good mood or a bad mood. So he walks with a different Pokemon depending on what mood he's in.
That would kind of match with his Rick and Morty shoes that I keep seeing at Ross to this
day. Yeah, I've been seeing those a lot.
It's such a treat learning about what collabs LaMelo has been up to.
Oh, he's had some crazy ones. And none of them seem to sell good.
What's I think the tweet related to the go-kart where it was like, he's like, you gave a child all the money in the world and he's just spending it at like a kid would.
It's really it. Especially with his cars too.
But still to this point, it's like what a teenager, how a teenager would spend their money if they were given $100 million.
It's like the movie Blank Check.
Yeah.
Without the problematic FBI relationship.
On the topic of LaMelo Ball and cars, I'm looking at Puma.com and they're currently doing a shoe collab with LaMelo Ball and Fast and Furious.
I feel like that's not the time.
Maybe he's on the story.
Did these companies just ask LaMelo Ball for his 10 favorite things and then like, all right, we'll just collaborate with those things.
You can get them in orange, black, and pink.
He's like, get this guy in a commercial where he's driving a car.
Yeah. Get this kid a fast vehicle right now.
There wouldn't be any problem with the little footage of him driving recklessly, would there?
All right. Speaking of spending money recklessly, when was our last episode? Like 3 years ago, something like that.
About.
I feel like we did an emergency episode, an emergency live cast of the second round of the NBA draft a few years ago.
Something like that.
That was spectacular.
What if 3 years ago I told you that there would be a team of Russell Westbrook, Domantas Sabonis, a pretty good Keegan Murray, DeMar DeRozan, and Zach LaVine, where Westbrook is getting paid the least? What would you expect out of that?
I would expect him to be on the coaching staff.
Okay.
By that prompt.
What would your like performance expectations be of this team? All of them getting like, you know, they're getting paid.
I would think at least like a play-in team.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like, that should be like, you know, like, that would basically be like the Chicago Bulls that we've watched for like the past like 10 years. But instead, they would have four guys averaging 20 points a game.
Right.
Like blow your mind. They'd be like the first team ever with four guys averaging 20 or something. And also simultaneously the like 9 seed.
I could see that. Well, they're 14-48 right now. Zach LaVine shut down on February 13th to do season-ending surgery on his right hand. Domantas Sabonis season-ending surgery on his meniscus on February 18th. DeAndre Hunter also on this team undergoing season-ending eye surgery. When you're tanking so hard that DeAndre Hunter's getting shut down.
He was winning too many games.
I think he was here for like 2 weeks.
What if the eye surgery was just like he has an eye exam?
It could be.
They have to do the puff of air. We gotta shut him down.
You see him on the bench in the sunglasses after you get him dilated.
He had to get his pupils dilated. He's out for 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, the first ever season ending like LASIK surgery.
They're making his vision worse, so he shoots worse when he comes back.
I think it's incredible how bad this team has been.
Yeah, I don't have, you know, I haven't been watching, but the bit of context I do have is that I check in every, you know, couple of weeks to try to make sure that the Wizards are still at the bottom of the standings. And every time I check in, they're somehow like the fifth worst team in the league. Every time I go, what is happening? Who is doing worse than this?
They'd be better at tanking after like quite a bit of practice.
Yeah. They don't even have like real players. I don't know what's happening.
They have Trey now.
They do. He start Thursday.
Trey is the big day.
DC on Thursday.
Thursday's the big day. You know how? I mean, Atlanta hasn't been without him for too long, but you know how they're faring so far.
Is it better? I thought they're just like classic Atlanta 500 ball like the whole way.
Yeah, they're 31-31 on the season. Points scored, 7,278 points allowed, 7,277.
They're up.
Yeah. I don't, you don't get more 500 than that.
Aren't they like pretty close to 500 all time too? Like all going all the way back? Like
yeah.
It's very close.
I had a tab open for that and I lost it, but it is like a very long running even history.
I mean, just truly, the Southeast Conference is disgusting. I mean, not conference, division. Wizards, yeah. Hawks, Magic, and Hornets in one division is disgusting work.
Hornets on the up and up, man.
As long as they keep LaMelo on the court, not behind the wheel.
So I saw a stat. I pay a tiny bit of attention to the Hornets because Con Knipple is from my hometown and my high school. And so he's been lighting it up. Rookie of the year leader, I believe, right now. But I saw, it was probably last week or a few days ago, when Con, Brandon Miller, and LaMelo Ball start together, they're 17-2.
Wow.
Yeah. So why
aren't they? I don't know, because I think Con's played the whole year. I don't know if LaMelo and Brandon Miller have been hurt or they've been trying different lineups or whatever, but that's a pretty good, like, young core. I don't know. LaMelo is obviously imperfect, but the guy can score and the guy can pass. And so if he, like, buys into whatever system they have, I would think they can make it work when you got, like, a lights-out shooter. And Brandon Miller's quite good, too. Like, it's a pretty – I think they did really well in this past draft, and they finally seem to have something of an identity. And – I mean, they're a 500 team right now, which is like they're already light years ahead of last year. So,
yeah, they still, in the dumps in terms of morals and ethics, but.
Oh, yeah. Is that still where Miles Bridges is plying his craft?
Yes.
Excellent.
Someone was saying about the Luke Cornett article that he wrote. About the Magic City Club, like, why are you not?
It was a whole article.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He wrote a whole. I'm not reading all that.
It's going to be
a Players Tribune
type. Yeah. Something like that.
Is he yet another contributor for Sports Illustrated?
Does he have a Substack?
Quality journalism like that story earlier.
Luke Cornett seems like the ultimate Substack guy, actually.
If Luke Cornett had written that, yeah, and if he leans a little bit more into the Catholic angle, he might get an op-ed in the New York Times.
That's true. But this could go like a really bad route.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he might be writing for Turning Point USA.
Yeah, yeah, oh, sure. I mean, I assumed he would be like, was it like interning for Douthat or whoever it is who runs the, writes their Catholic side, but yeah.
him and Ennis Freedom start something up.
Get Andrew Bogut back over here, stateside. We could use him.
Oh man, the Hornets though—they have—they're tied for the second longest winning streak in the league right now.
Oh my,
four! If you could believe that.
Who's tied with them?
The Hawks.
I can't believe it. I reject this.
They're 9-10, like ranking. Hawks 9, Hornets 10.
I'm checking the standings now. The entire play-in right now for the Eastern Conference is the Southeast Division. The Magic are 7, the Heat are 8, the Hawks are 9, and the Hornets are 10.
Yeah, that adds up.
Only one team is beneath that from that division, and I'll give you zero guesses who it is.
You know what's crazy, though? We won't guess because I don't want to do you harm like that. the fall off of the Pacers, I mean, that's a big loss, but like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah, no, it's crazy.
Y'all were just in the finals in year 15-46.
They're actively tanking.
Yeah, they're trying to do the Tim Duncan deal.
Yeah,
definitely. But like,
and then get Haliburton back.
Yeah, but it's like, do you remember this was like years ago? But like the MVP discourse was like, if your team sucks that bad without you, you should be MVP.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we bring that back? Nick
is MVP.
Because if you look this bad without Haliburton,
should he win this year?
He should win this year. Because like every real like MVP nominee is going to be disqualified this year anyway.
I did just see that. Yeah, what, SGA is like 3 games away and Jokic is like 3 games away or something. I think
Cunningham's the only one with like safe through the end, pretty close.
At this rate, it'll probably be Cade.
Well, I mean,
and then they'll change the rule back.
Yeah, respect to him and the season the Pistons are having, but that's a fake MVP right there.
That might be the only time I'm like, yeah.
I think he's a worthy MVP, but I think like when you have every other possible candidate DQ'd because of the rule you put in place a couple of years ago, just get rid of the rule again. Like,
yeah,
someone high up enough will raise a big enough stink about it.
Or like lower the number of like missed games. Or no, raise the number of
maybe like allowed, if at all during the season you missed like 20 consecutive games or 10 consecutive games or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like rest purposes are things that happen. Like
they tried to fix something that I don't really feel like was broken because we could already factor it into our decision, you know?
Not need to be a technicality all of a sudden.
Yeah, like we can do the math if, you know, 60 games of Shy is better than 80 games of Cade and come to a decision on that.
The fixing things that aren't broken seems to be a common theme lately.
They love that. I noticed the All-Star game changed again this year. I have no clue how broken it was before because I haven't tuned in a couple, but it seems to be a completely different one every year.
And every year it's like more boring. Like the players don't even like it anymore. It's incredible.
The funniest part I saw about it this year was when Kevin Durant called it out before the time and was like, I don't know why y'all acting like international pride is going to change this. Jokic doesn't try in the All-Star game.
Yeah. Plus, and then they got rid of the skills challenge.
Yeah, which was what
people are blaming Chris Paul for.
Yeah, they should just do, you know, basically a skills challenge. And don't do, like, the NFL Pro Bowl is doing the same thing where it's like it's after the season, nobody really cares, and the guys that go, like, there's you're on to like the sixth alternate by the time
you're made
like
Pro Bowl.
Yeah, like literally got like yeah so but then they do things like have them play dodgeball and stuff where it's like I don't know who's watching that, like just bring back the like, yeah, the basically the skills challenge where it's like the long throw and the like target throw and like, I don't know, that, but basketball. Yeah, I remember watching All-Star Weekend as a kid in like the mid 2000s. And it would be like, all right, you know, Jason Richardson was in the dunk contest, but is anybody going to unseat him? And like, obviously, you can go back even further than that, but that's like what's coming to mind when I like when I tuned into the whole thing as like a teenager. I was like, it was Jason Richardson was like the guy to beat, or Gerald Green. Those were the two guys to beat in the dunk contest.
Gerald Green was
awesome. at their time, and then the three point shootout is what it is with the money balls, and you know, they tweaked that over the years too, which is like, what's there to tweak with that? It's the same format every time. Why do you need to add like a 4-point shot or whatever else? And then, yeah, just do more of the skills challenge where it was like that they did like 2-ball with like a WNBA player and an NBA player. And they did like the passing drill that like gauntlet where it was like, you got to make these passes and dribble through the cones and like do a layup and a dunk on either end. And like, I don't know. It's still fun. You've got to see like that's I don't know. They as we've said, they're fixing things that weren't broken and like trying to make it more. I don't know. Trying to attract a younger crowd, maybe, but I don't know what
they are trying to get a younger crowd, because this year's whole thing was like they flooded all the events with content creators.
Oh yeah,
I millennial and like, I feel like younger than millennial. I feel like
literally, this podcast is not far off from being in the Celebrity All-Star Game. Like,
I was gonna say we can just get rid of that, right?
I did watch the Celebrity All-Star Game this year. I was having so much fun trying to figure out who people were.
That's how what I'm saying. We're close. Like we're not Shams. Far off.
Oh, I was Catherine and I watched it together. And as someone who is not a hoops fan and not online in that sense, She was so confused why I was so loudly booing and angry every time this one random dude got the ball. And it was Shams. I was so furious to see the ball. I almost left the room. So that was the absolute worst part of it, was seeing him. But watching him get clowned was at least okay.
I thought he'd be able to shoot.
He absolutely cannot. No.
None of these nerds can shoot.
You can't shoot on the phone. You need both
arms. He was on the phone like during timeouts.
He was. He grabbed it the second the game ended. In like the huddle, the MVP ceremony, he was on his phone and walked away.
Incredible.
Giving Darren Rovell energy, doing like the 40 and doing all the challenges. Or like Dave Portnoy doing all the things. It's just like these guys can't even run. They don't even know how to run.
There was a pretty big scandal in the celebrity game this year. I don't know if y'all were paying attention, but they gave Giannis's team Taco Fall. And it's the single most unfair thing that has ever happened in the entire celebrity game history, including when prime Terrell Owens was in there dunking.
And Taco got a contract after that.
Every single time Giannis's team went down by like more than 10 points, he would just put Taco back in, and he would touch the ball in every possession until it was tied again, and then he would come out. And then eventually he went in long enough to make sure they won, and that was it. And then they gave the MVP Giannis, to somebody else.
Giannis knows ball.
He does. He was coaching ruthlessly. He had like two seven-footers on Giannis.
Wasn't he like eating popcorn the whole time on the sideline too? That's so funny.
You said he got a contract after?
Yeah.
Where?
I think he got a 10-day or a 2-way or something from somebody.
Oh, good for him.
Like the day after the Celebrity All-Star Game when he had like a double-double.
That's so funny because like just weeks before that, I saw he was like working on becoming a firefighter or something. Did I fucking dream this?
I hope so, because then I want to hear about it even more.
He would make a great ladder.
He participated in a firefighter for a day event.
He'd be pretty good at like getting a cat out of a tree.
Yeah.
True. 7'6".
I would also like to call it that Giannis' team had Jeremy Lin on it.
Oh, yes, I did see that. And he somehow hit like an 8-point shot.
Yeah, he had a 4-pointer during the other one. I don't think the other team had any NBA players.
Giannis got two.
And Giannis got two and won 7'6", which was really quality stuff. I will say, though there was one other good thing that they asked Giannis about it. They did interview him and they asked him about the rosters because the other coach was mad, Anthony Anderson. And he did say that he deserved to have the NBA players because having Shams was that big of an anchor on the team.
Oh,
that's real. That is what he said.
I saw him. I didn't remember the quote, but I remember just being like, but we have him.
He was like, I'm still in the net negative because I have him.
Wait, so it was Giannis coaching one team and actor Anthony Anderson coaching the other team?
Yeah. Yep. That was the two teams. And then Giannis's assistant coaches were his brothers and Mookie Betts. And then Anthony Anderson's assistant coaches were Lethal Shooter, Chris Brickley, and Donald Faison.
I understand it now.
That clears it up for you.
I saw Giannis getting interviewed, and then I was like, oh, so it's like the top vote-getter guys are the coaches of this. Okay. But no, it's actor and Jimmy Kimmel fill-in host sometimes, Anthony Anderson.
It made me check like 8 times to see if the game was in Milwaukee.
What? Adam Silver, why?
Press this.
Why?
Started to derail us with celebrity talk.
It's like I feel like we've never actually.
Giannis was hurt, so he probably wasn't playing in the game, but like, I don't get it. I'm at a loss.
Just like Team Anthony Anderson when Taco Fall would sub in off the bench.
Yeah, what do you even do?
They tried hacking him a little bit, but there really is nothing to do at all. But I will say they did better than they should. Every time he brought the ball down, the entire team was in there trying to grab it. But no, he had like a 20-20 game in like maybe like 10 minutes.
Was he shooting too?
Not ever from further than 2 inches from the rim.
Oh, okay.
Furthest shot he took was a foul shot.
He simplified his game a little bit.
Yeah. Giannis told him to get his butt in the paint. I do remember he almost single-handedly took out Zion Williamson's Duke team in the NCAA tournament just by no one knowing what to do with the 7'6 guy in the middle of the paint in a sport where the defensive center is literally allowed to stay in the paint without moving.
Right. I like that matchup, though. Zion versus, like, the lankiest but tallest man.
Oh, yeah. It was very, immovable object versus unstoppable force type deal. And, like, the blockiest, highest jumping person you've ever seen obliterate the tallest person you've ever seen.
Yes, he can.
He can at least foul him out of the game and then obliterate the rest of the team.
Okay, this is going to be a deep one right here for you guys.
I'm excited.
But have you guys heard of the KD files?
A little bit.
Okay.
There have been KD burners over the years, but this was like
the big one.
The burner of all burners.
Yeah.
They got him? Is it in 4K?
Allegedly. Okay. Let's make that clear right now. Allegedly.
He is the type of guy to come after us on that. Respect, by the way. I mean, that is a compliment.
But, like,
absolutely.
The signs are all there, even from, like, relations to his own posts on his main account, all this stuff. So I want to read some of these. I can only read so many on here. I'm going to have to paraphrase some of these. But we got to start with a hot one right here. Because these span like over the course of many years or like a few years.
Excellent.
But we got some fresh ones right here about his Rockets teammates. I can't trust Jabari to make a these are in the all DMs, by the way. These are all leaked DMs.
Oh, man.
I can't trust Jabari to make a fucking shot or get a stop. Just don't give him a tech. Free throw TBH. He's low key. I'm just going to say R word.
Oh.
But he did say that about his teammate. Coach called that play and passed to Alvy.
Maybe team.
right. Alleged teammate.
Blanket alleged over.
But they are still currently teammates, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Then coach called that play to pass to LP. That would be Alperen Sengun. I'm going to turn the ball over with the shitty-ass team. I don't give a fuck. Your franchise player can't shoot or defend. That's a way bigger issue than my turnovers. Remember, these guys are your future. He's
talking about Sengun there?
Yeah. There's another DM in which they are talking about the group chat is talking about Devin Booker and Coach Vogel, to which he says, two dictators, Stalin and Hitler, Mussolini and King Jong-un. The Suns are my team when we lose and Book's team when we win.
All right, that one might be KD. That does kind of sound like him. that's the fact that he ran in with two different sets of examples is crazy.
I swear I miss Ben Simmons. At least that dude would give me the ball.
Crazy talk. Two dictators.
Ben Simmons is going through depression. He ain't playing ball either. Why would they trade Kyrie for a dude who hates basketball? We got to get some deeper one. I'm moving through. There's going to be one that's really going to change like how we view him as a person.
Okay.
But I'm trying to.
It's like a deeply moving personal essay.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's a moment.
It's much worse. I'm trying to find. God, there's too many.
It's an announcement. He's going back to the Warriors to finish the season.
Yep.
At one point, he refers to Russell Westbrook as triple-double cocaine bear.
Probably honestly, one of the nicer things he's called Russ over the course of their careers.
That could be. He definitely has some dislike for Kyrie that he made clear multiple times. Kyrie thought the white European was going to play honorable hoops. I'm crying. He said Kyrie was really on his best behavior around the European, but treat his own people like we owe him something. Which is like, that's its own conversation we're not qualified to have. But
yeah, damn.
But if you don't screen and pass up shots for Steph, you're getting waived. This is one of my favorites about James Harden. I miss James. That's a good guy. Slightly delusional, but I understand him.
Hell yeah. He likes one dude.
That one he uses an F slur in, and that's not, I wouldn't even say that's the worst one here.
I assume at minimum we'd hear that. I'm pretty sure I've seen that on Twitter before from his main.
And I'm just going through this thread that we can probably share later. That I was like, then there's proof about it being him. So here's the final one I'm going to hit you guys with, in which someone in that same group chat, I believe, shared one of those articles linking Kevin Durant to drone investments, with those drone investments then being tied to Israel.
Oh, yeah.
In which the tweet says, "Gotta admit, Kevin Durant is making money off the genocide in Gaza. Wasn't something I expected to learn today." To which Kevin Durant allegedly replies, "If they need drones, we got you."
Oh my God. That checks out about. Do we need an investigation to know if Kevin Durant was on the Draymond sniper rifle trip?
Oh, we might have to look into that. That might be its own episode.
Slow Burn season 7.
Oh, dude, we have to get that one out soon while Netanyahu's busy on his plane running away from his friends.
Oh,
all right. So that's allegedly Kevin Durant. Also, after all that stuff leaked, he fired the staff of his media and entertainment company.
He fired everyone, right? Like the entire everything.
I think at least like the full editorial staff. What was the company again? You guys remember?
I saw the name and I can't remember it now. It's
not his like seven or whatever.
Like Boardroom.
Oh yeah.
Boardroom.
Yes. Yeah. Which like I thought was doing good stuff.
I think I they were just in like investment portfolio.
I mean, he seems to have a thing for that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of his vibe. The Ashton Kutcher of the NBA.
Yeah. He's also like not the only guy that has investments that are tied to Israel right now.
Oh, yeah, no chance.
But I would recommend Pablo Torre did a really great episode with Nathan. Who was he with?
With the Chapo Chap House.
Yeah. Mm. And he discusses the layers to that better than we could for sure. I mean, to sum it up, it's a lot of these guys, Steph included, making these investments with like Silicon Valley with like really not looking into anything at all. Just like, oh yeah. Portfolio.
Oh yeah.
That's good. And then, you know, that stuff, then those companies end up signing deals with like the IDF.
Yeah. There's a reason they're all in like the Fortune Favors the Bold commercials.
Oh my God. Speaking of the IDF, should we get into one of the most controversial all-star picks of all time?
I thought you were just going to segue it into a conversation about the Lakers. No, what's it? Let's hear it.
Denny.
I believe.
How do we feel about Denny being voted in as an all-star over, I believe he was voted in over KD and LeBron?
Is he a starter? No, okay. So not like fan voted in, voted in by coaches, because that would have, I think, been even more shocking.
Well, it's a combined vote.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm pulling up the fan returns right here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the West, we have Denny, Portland. For those who don't know, Denny is an IDF veteran. Take that as you will. I take it poorly. He's a fine player.
He's having a good year.
He's really figured out the magic of being a victim on the court. And surrounding himself with shooters.
Ayo.
All right, so, you know, like, number one vote in the West is no surprise. Like, Luka, Jokic, Steph Curry, those all passed a million votes, okay? Go down to seventh place in the West, Denny, 606,000. Eighth place, Kevin Durant. Ninth place, LeBron James. James Harden, 12th place. I mean, that's Booker, 15. I mean, is this for real? Does he have more fans than KD and LeBron?
I mean, I'm reminded a little bit of, like, the amount of votes like Zaza Pachulia would get as like the one guy from the Republic of Georgia in the NBA, and like an entire country just decides, yes, we're voting for this guy, and he nearly gets in. Denny at least has the stats to be deserving to a point, at least. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure
the country behind him.
Yao Ming would get like millions and millions of votes back in the day, which he was great, but it would be like astronomical. He would get like the entire country of China's votes. Like, and yeah, so I'm sure there's a little bit of weight to that.
Let me tell you, there was nothing that hit like the rush of being around, you know, mid-2000s, rolling up on somebody and saying, hey, who's the which basketball player has the most fans in the world? They'd say some dumb crap like Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. You'd lean in, hit him with a Yao Ming, and then walk off feeling good as hell. You know, you buffoon. You absolute buffoon. No, I as someone who, you know, failed to mention, almost as bad as his military history is, he also served for the Washington Wizards. I watched him there, and I gotta say, I'm calling, and you know, temper this with that I haven't watched a single game of Portland Trailblazers basketball this year, so I know what I'm talking about. But I'm calling empty calories on his ass. I don't buy it. He was good at defense, but I don't buy suddenly he's this level of a scorer. So until the team's better, I'm skipping it. I'm out on it.
Yeah, this is a 29-33 team.
Yeah, like I'm sorry, it's like when they tell me Alex Saar is averaging like 20-10 for the Wizards now, and I should be psyched about that. I'm like, every game they play is a pickup game. No, none of those stats are real.
Those types of stats, it's like, well, someone has to do it. It's going to go to someone. Yeah.
And like we know what's happened in the league. We know the offensive inflation that happened over the past 10 years. You know, scoring 40 points used to mean something. And now it's like, yeah, we're going to see Denny averaging 40 in like 10 years or something at the end of his career.
29-33 is actually really good, and teams should strive for that and be happy about that.
Is Denny the first NBA player to be congratulated publicly by a war criminal?
This is what I saw. I didn't know too much about the All-Star voting. I saw this, that he is their star.
Denny, every time you step onto the court, our country beams with pride. For the people of Israel, you aren't just any star. You are our Star of David.
Somebody,
official tweet from at Netanyahu Twitter account.
Yeah.
I think the only reason he's not the first to be congratulated by a war criminal is because David Stern used to hand out the trophy.
Oh.
There we go.
Oh,
there it is.
I'm loaded with them, folks. I'm flipping them off the grill.
I mean, also every NBA champion team does go visit the White House.
Oh yeah, that's way easier. Besides our war criminal.
Not my war criminal.
Not mine. Yes, not all war criminals. No tall war criminals. Shout out.
All right, what else?
Wait, before we get off the topic of Denny, someone that we both know is selling a Trailblazers jacket on Depop. It was mine, and she's suddenly just getting a huge influx of offers for it, and they are all like lowballing her so bad. Yeah, it's in demand.
That's
making some money off of that soon.
You gotta strike while it's hot.
And she's not selling it for that much either. I think it's like $15 for like a Nike NBA.
How bad are these low balls?
I don't know, but I think they're asking for dollars off of it. I think maybe like $12, $13 instead of $15.
This is a cheap jacket.
Yeah.
Are they saying it's their inherited right to the jacket?
Okay, I'm gonna feed you guys. This is gonna be a regular thing. I think we're gonna do. I'm gonna feed you guys a musical quote, and you guys have to guess who would make this reference. So today we have Golden Like Draymond, and you're not going to guess what group, genre even, this would be from.
Can you give me the lyric again? I want to hear it again.
It's just Golden Like We Draymond.
Golden Like We Draymond.
It's new.
I'm just going to, I got to guess. I'm going to say Zara Larsson.
No. I like the direction you're headed in a way, but no.
I'll go, I was going to say K-pop Demon Hunters.
Ooh, that would have been crazy if Draymond got name dropped.
That is a Blackpink.
Wow.
Draymond Green reference. Do we agree with this? Yes or no?
I don't know if I think of Draymond when I hear Golden. Like,
he's on Golden State.
He's not.
So is.
Well, okay. All right. I guess, touche.
I buy it. You know what? What? Four rings for Draymond? He can. He's not my. He wouldn't be my first choice.
I think he's definitely earned like references for sure.
Is Draymond the rhyming word in this lyric?
Good question.
I have to look this up.
Like, did it have to be Draymond, or could they have done any? They have thrown like Chris Mullin in there or something.
In the previous lyric, they were shouting out Waymond from Workaholics. So it did have to be Draymond in the next one.
All right.
It could be a tangent rhyme or a near rhyme.
I know that's a perfect rhyme. Just for the, you know, anyone curious, this is from Me and My from Blackpink. Just me and my day ones, pretty girls walking. Golden like we Draymond, they pay us for a walk-in.
Okay, so it's not the rhyming word.
It's not the rhyme.
It's the third line.
I mean,
with day ones. Day ones.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, I'll count. I count that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I count that.
I work it. Yeah, yeah.
Day one. Okay. All right.
I'm accepting this one. I'm accepting that. That's my vote.
Now, what's funny is the next line is step, step, step into some commas. You could have fit Steph in there. Right?
Hit Blackpink on the show and see if they're like Blackpink. Really hardcore Warriors fans but are like anti-Steph. That would be a new like group we haven't really delved into yet before because I don't think they exist.
I do not want to get involved with that crowd at all. I'm gonna be...
What about like golden like we Michael Petras?
Okay.
Golden like we...
Michael Petras would be golden if Courtney Lee didn't smoke the layup in the 2009 NBA Finals against the Lakers.
Okay. Charging my card like Brandon Pajemski.
I think you can do something with Moses Moody. He should be easy to work in.
He should be. Yeah. Wait, he is, right? Yeah.
Okay. Is Kuminga?
Oh,
Kuminga's
God.
A hawk now, baby.
Oh,
who'd you get for him? Was it anything, or was it just like this has to end?
Yeah, it was more of a this has to end. Let me get the specifics of that.
He his first two games at the Hawks, he had like
he's been good.
I think he had like 40 points total between the two games, and you know, and then he tweeted he posted something like Warriors messed up or Steve Kerr messed up on this one. And it was like, all right.
Everybody's first couple games. I saw there was a post from either, I think it was ESPN. It was just clowning DeAndre Ayton. It was talking about him like saying he needs the ball more for the Lakers.
Oh,
well, he said, I'm not Clint Capella. I'm not no Clint
Capella. Yeah, they're trying to turn me into Clint Capella.
His stats are identical to Clint. Like, he wishes he was
Pete It was the whole thing was just about how Clint Capella is better than DeAndre Ayton is.
Yeah. And like Capella knew his role.
That's really what made him great. Where it was like Ayton, who likes to go by the name Dominatin, had 2 points and 0 rebounds in his next game out.
That add in of the nickname. That's perfect.
It's cool.
So okay, I remember I was so upset with this trade that I blocked it out of my memory. Because I actually really did not like this trade. I'm so happy for Kuminga.
Yeah.
It's like that part, I'm like, good for him. I want him to have a great career. I think he's a great player. He seems like a chill guy. But it was Kuminga and Buddy Hield in exchange for Kristaps Porzingis, who has played like one game and then has been sick with what they're still calling mystery illness.
I love that we can watch the Celtics still be pretty good even at this stage, and people are still trying to be like, Kristaps is the reason that title happened.
Oh, my God.
Like, there's probably 5 Celtics more responsible for that than him, and the Warriors were still like, yeah, that's what'll fix us.
Speaking of the Celtics, I saw them doing similar to what the Pacers are doing this year preseason. I was just like, oh, they're unloading guys. They're kind of tanking this year. Till Tatum can come back, and then they'll reload. Like, meanwhile, they're like the 3 seed, 2 seed, and like I think Joe Mazzulla might be like a really, really good coach. I think that's my conclusion here. And like Jalen Brown,
he's insane, but yeah.
And Peyton Pritchard is good.
Another Catholic warrior, I'm pretty sure.
They're just the guys they kept are good, and like, but also Mazzulla has a good system that he can kind of plug in guys that'll fit, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he motivates them. Whatever he's doing in there, he connects with his team because they play for that dude. It is crazy.
I think they play so hard so that they don't have to have more meetings with him.
Honestly, maybe, because he's psycho.
That man is insane.
Yeah, completely. The pride.
I don't know if it's like endearingly so or not.
It's endearing to Celtics fans, which
okay, yeah,
I think answers the question for the rest of us.
And fans of the movie The Town.
it's a version of these Celtics players that like Celtics fans have loved over the years, like Rondo or Marcus Smart, or like it's like a version of this where it's like Jaylen Brown has a bit of this. It just works. I don't know that it would work on many other teams to have this type of guy as the coach, but it works. Like,
you know what does not work for the Celtics though? Is that shit that Jaylen was doing with his hairline. Did you guys see this?
No, I haven't. Oh, yeah.
He did the boozer.
Oh, it was rubbing
off on guys' jerseys.
Yeah,
like legit, like two different times it happened.
Wow, he's fallen a long way from the clean flat top when he came in the league.
And then he got clowned so hard he shaved his head on like Instagram Live or Twitch, one of the two.
Hey, Jaylen Brown in the Kevin Durant camp. He cares what you say about him.
I actually have to find, he made a really strong statement recently. A little different than, you know, how open KD is about his feelings. Mm-hmm. There is great evil in this world. Don't be naive to it.
True.
Their wide receiver tweeted.
That was last month.
Can't argue with it.
But what is he referring to?
What was the exact
date? What did you like to know?
The exact date was it was February 7th. What the hell happened on?
He's had a bad day.
I want to see if you fouled out of a game on February 7th.
You know that Trey fouled out of today's game?
Did he really?
He wasn't playing. Or he didn't foul out. He got ejected.
Oh.
From the bench. So he's ready.
Oh, yeah. See, this might answer it for you. February 6th, Celtics Heat. Jaylen Brown was a minus 16 in 33 minutes.
Is he the evil?
One of seven from three.
There is great evil in this world.
I have a different theory.
Okay.
I looked up February 7th headlines. Number one headline is Nancy Guthrie missing. So he might have just been really into that case.
Okay.
He's trying to spread awareness.
Without naming it.
Yeah.
By being incredibly vague.
we're aware. Everyone's got to have it worked on us guy in the group.
We have breaking news.
Emergency pod starting now.
Today, March 2nd, the Boston Celtics, in terms of NBA history, this is not including pre-NBA basketball. I don't know how accurate this is, but the Boston Celtics are debuting the first ever all-white starting lineup. Sam Hauser, Baylor Sherman.
Okay.
Nikola Vucevic, who's having a great year.
Vucevic is a Celtic?
Yeah. Trade deadline. Bulls are finally tearing it down, I think.
Vucci main.
Hugo Gonzalez.
Okay.
And rounding this out, Derek White.
Okay.
Classic. Classic payoff.
Very similar to... Okay, there was another actual... all-white starting lineup in the last year or two, which was Josh Giddey, Kevin Herter. How do you... I never hear people say his name. It's always different. Matas Buzelis?
I think it's Matas.
Matas?
Buzelis.
Okay, Buzelis. Again...
History has shown me not to be the leading authority on name pronunciation.
Okay. Nikola Vucevic.
Wow, Vucevic.
And check this out, Kobe White.
I thought it was good, but he got me again.
Bring Kirk Heinrich out of retirement for one game.
Give him Mavs. Mark Cuban's all white Mavs for those couple of years.
Oh, people were so weird about that too.
The two I remember being famous for that were his and that. I think it was like the Chase Budinger Wolves. I think when he was up there, they had a really white for a little while.
That's so strange.
It's probably Pekovic in there, I'm guessing, at that time.
Probably Zerbiak, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Maybe we had Ricky Rubio going.
Well, that's everything on our list. You guys got anything that's been standing out to you lately you'd like to discuss?
Jared, I want to turn it on you. Who's winning it all this year? Who are you locking in at this stage?
I'll tell you who's not.
Well, the
not the Warriors.
The 40 40 before 20. There's only three teams left that did that this year. Thunder, Spurs, and Pistons.
I think the Thunder are a pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
But
Thunder versus the field, are you taking the Thunder?
That's hard because the Nuggets are still good as hell when Jokic is on the court. And the only reason they're solo is because Jokic missed so much.
Yeah.
Also, Jamal Murray's an all-star now.
Finally.
So we love that.
He's taken off the lifetime of almost all-stars.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Mike Conley Award.
There it is.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Nuggets.
Once. He was once.
True, true.
But it took a while. I think he was like,
season 50.
Years ago.
Yeah.
With Utah.
shout out to Andrew Wiggins. Should have brought him up earlier. I'm talking about people getting fan voted in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think the Pistons are going to. I think they'll make it.
I heard Cleveland is surging. James Harden Cleveland, is back in the saddle.
Cleveland has the juice.
But they have totally wiped out every time they've hit the playoffs with this core. And I don't even really know why, because, like, if I remember correctly, Mitchell hasn't wiped out. He's been a stud. It's like the rest of them screw it up.
The lights are too bright.
But I'm an Evan Mobley guy. I think I would love to have him on my squad. So
I like that whole team pretty much.
Yeah,
a lot of good. I'd like to see a Thunder Spurs Western Conference Finals.
I would love that.
Pistons Cavs Eastern Conference Finals. That sounds fun to me.
Yeah, I think that'd be my most expected.
That's probably most people's most expected.
You know, I feel like despite their record, the Knicks are kind of a sleeper team to push up there, but like they're also really good at falling apart.
Yeah, they love being disappointing.
The Wolves in the West too. They've gone far.
Yeah.
The Wizards can go nuclear in the playoffs.
Nuggets Wolves on Christmas. That was a hell of a game. The one where Edwards got ejected in overtime or that was fantastic. I forget if this is like more of a Zach Lowe thing or a Bill Simmons thing, but sign me up for seven games of that in May or whatever.
The Nuggets always have the best Christmas games.
They're awesome. Jokic knows how to treat us. And there's no one, I mean, maybe, I haven't watched much, but there's no one who's more fun to just casually tune in and watch than Jokic.
Yeah, that Aaron Gordon Christmas game a couple of years ago.
Oh, was that the 50 burger?
Game-winning dunk?
Oh, that was crazy.
Incredible.
He's so good. Did I tell you guys I finally went to a Nuggets game?
You made it out there.
I finally got to see Big Yoke.
Who was the opponent?
It was the Kings.
Yeah, so you got a Nuggets win is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I got some tickets for like stupid cheap. And I was like, okay, cool. Like I'm gonna see Jokic. It's gonna bring Nathan. Nathan was sick. So I made Jasmine come with me. And she doesn't really watch basketball. Like if like a Warrior Games is on, you know, she'll look up every now and then. She likes Draymond, she likes some of those guys. We're at the game and it's like 20 or 30 point difference at halftime. And she's like, I don't know what I'm watching, but I can tell like these guys just don't work together. Like, what's wrong with them? Because like it's turnovers. These dudes are missing dunks. And so we got to see like what 20 minutes of Jokic before they're like, you can chill.
That's the danger. The game that's cheap enough to go to is the one where the stars get pulled early for whooping up.
Or don't even play at all.
Yeah.
Just rest them.
Yeah. She was like, damn, these guys suck. I'm like, yeah.
I feel like we're not watching a good basketball game. Right
yeah. Now. Like, yeah. I don't know what I'm watching, but it's bad. Yeah. I'm like, what if I told you this team was paying a lot? These guys?
It cost $200 million to be this bad.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
I was like they just got these guys
on the floor and we'd do it for 50 million easily. Ooh. Lose just as many games as if not more.
Any other predictions here?
Let me check standings. I'm going to pick a sleeper team.
Pick a sleeper.
I'll pick a sleeper team so I look smart. And if it happens, then we all forget about it. If it doesn't, I'm going to be in real trouble. I almost went to the NCAA standings, so my team is definitely not going to go far. Well, the sleepers stink. All the good teams are really already at the top, aren't they?
I don't think it's ever. I mean, we say this all the time, but like, there's such a gap.
Yeah. I'm like, the Clippers blew it up, so you can't be them.
Who?
The Clippers blew it up at the deadline, right? They shipped everybody out but Kawhi.
Yeah. And yet, like, it made them better.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Harden leaving was surprising.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm not that plugged in, but I really didn't know that's where they were at. Because they had won like 15 in a row or something, so I thought they were going to give it a shot. But I guess the front office stayed level-headed and said, no, we're tired of this.
Yeah, interesting. I'm not betting on the Warriors this season, I'm going to be real with you guys. We just traded Kuminga for a guy that, like, will never play again at this rate.
Is Jimmy healthy? Is Jimmy playing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought he was hurt.
I mean, he gets hurt a little frequently. But, oh, no, he is out. Wait. God. What? I forgot. Sorry, it's been I've been so busy the last few weeks. No, Jimmy's very extremely out.
Okay.
He was doing good on and off. And then that man's out for like a whole season.
Okay. That's a little
I don't know how could I forget? That's embarrassing.
The last time this pod was together, two of the pod members had teams like near the height of the NBA and look at this now.
Yeah, Jimmy tore his ACL.
Ooh.
Which is when we needed him most because Steph is still out indefinitely.
Is Steph going to finish his career as a Warrior?
I think so.
Think so? Do anything it takes to do it?
I think Draymond probably still will as well. Okay.
I'll go on record and say I'm also not betting on the Warriors.
Okay, yeah, it's fair.
Are you not betting on the Warriors on Kalshi, or
on any platform, whether Giannis is involved in it or not?
Do you know how bad it feels seeing, like, for a whole week how close Warriors allegedly are for like trading for Giannis and doing this whole big thing, and then waking up and being like, oh, we got Tingus Pingus who like has a mystery disease. And shout out to all my homies with mystery disease, but like, come on, man.
Oh yeah, I still was like, even this year it was like the hype as high as the trade talks ever really got, because there was like Giannis himself apparently, you know, was open to it.
Yeah,
which I think is the first time on record that he's said like, yeah, I'm open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he never publicly did anything, so I still don't fully buy that, like, he's like barging into a front office and being like, get me out of here. Like, everything he's ever said is that he wants to stay in Milwaukee the long haul if they'll have him, basically. And I've always had the stance of pay the man whatever he wants, even if he's not like worth it anymore. Like, he gets a lifetime pass for me. Like, so I mean, it's like, this year, at best, it's like the years of the Nuggets where, like, when Jokic is on the floor, they're one of the best teams, and when he's off the floor, they're the worst team by far. And that's pretty close to where we were at. That is where we were at earlier in the season. And then they made a couple decent cheap pickups. They got Cam Thomas. They got Kevin Porter, and Ryan Rollins are playing well. Like, they're at least a fun team to a point right now without Giannis on the floor. I'm still team Giannis forever. Keep him forever. I truly don't think he wants to get traded, even if the team's not like actually a title contender. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. And we shouldn't. If he wants to stay, we should not ship him out. Like, I know we have no picks, and I know we have like no prospect of having picks if we keep him in the long haul. He got us the championship. He's got the lifetime pass for me. Pay him whatever he wants. He also generates a ton of like buzz and revenue and fun for the city. And like, I don't know. That's where I'm at. He can do whatever he wants. And if he wants to leave actively and is like, get me out of here, we should honor that. But I don't think he's said that even now. I think I'm open to it, but I don't really want to leave.
Yeah, the extent that I've seen was like, maybe one day.
Yeah, like if y'all stayed his ass, but it's like, fire Doc Rivers.
Yes.
Oh my god.
That's what needed to happen. I mean, we never should have hired him in the first place.
Crazy like, hire. What was the team's record when he was hired? Like 40-12 or something crazy?
It was like, yeah, they were.
It was a decent record.
25 games above 500. Something.
Yeah, like, they like I know they're
like 35-10 or something like that. Yeah.
The Bucks did that thing that people with like ADHD do, or they're like, or like people with OCD do. In my experience, someone with both is like, I'm so close to perfect, but since I can't do it perfectly, I'm just gonna throw it away.
You know, like, Doc Rivers.
Never mind.
I just looked up. He is 92-88 with the Bucks. I know that Giannis has been injured for some of that, but going.
Why did he get such a long leash compared to Adrian Griffin?
Right, like right. 500 with Giannis Antetokounmpo on your team, it should be like you shouldn't work in the league again.
He's generated so much goodwill off a championship he won 20 years ago.
Truly that the like Mike McCarthy and the coaches. Surely the players. and that yeah. Back when Tibbs was his one of his assistants or something too.
Yeah. Like I'd honestly rather still have Budenholzer at this point. And he was not overly inspiring either, but he at least like
he could do something.
He could drop some plays.
Yeah, at least. Get you into the playoffs.
that too, yeah.
And I think
he had experience.
The best thing I can add to the Tingus Pingus trade is that when you told us that it happened, Kristaps was so far out of my mind as an NBA player at this point that I thought you were referring to Peyton Pritchard.
if we had Peyton Pritchard, aka PP Poo Poo. Shout out to Adam. I'd be psyched.
It would be better. It would actually be a better trade. But yeah, it's the best part.
Yeah, because he actually plays basketball.
Peyton Pritchard strikes me as like one of Joe Mazzulla's guys, like forever. Like mm-hmm. That dude is just in his good graces and will never like is on the same wavelength in many ways.
He probably also really enjoys the town.
I mean, the kind of guy who gets an honorary spot on the Celtics.
Yeah. I mean, he's like an all Suns team type of guy. Will, how do you feel about the Wizards then?
It's really just all about this pick. Whatever it comes down to, if it's in the top three, no, I don't. If it's in the top two, it really needs to be there. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not a huge Boozer believer. In the pros, he's gonna be good, but like, if everything's proven, you need one guy who can be like the franchise, basically, and I don't think he'll be that. So I'm like, it's either DeBanza or Peterson, and then maybe one of the other guys. But I'm really curious to see what they do. I didn't really know what the idea was with getting Anthony Davis and Trey, and I'm still going to be like weird. Think it's probably a bad move if they start committing a large amount of money to them long term. Considering there's a reason it didn't work before, but it was a fine move for tanking. I just assumed they got Trey because they need to get CJ McCollum out of there while he was winning a couple of games. And then same with Chris Middleton because he was trying to, you know, play defense or something on a team that was supposed to lose every game they played.
Yeah. What I saw was like you get two, you know, quote unquote superstars or star players that both basically hurt the rest of the year, and it's like a reload for next year still.
It really is. Like, I mean, they got him for free, so I'm not mad at the trades. Like, they could still ruin it by, like, if they decide to give Anthony Davis, like, a max extension or something. That would be insane. They need the good pick. Everybody, all the front offices apparently are saying that the next two drafts after this one are going to be pretty bad. So it's got to be this one. It really needs to be DeBanza, Peterson, or they need to strike gold with one of the guys from like four or lower and hope like Caleb Wilson or Mikael Brown explodes. But apparently they're so tied to Trey that they're not even drafting a guard. So they better, a point guard or something. So they better hope they get DeBanza, I guess.
Some things just never change.
They don't, you know, they'll be the Wizards forever. It's fine. I can only imagine how wild it must have been when that Bullets team won the title in 78 because it will never happen again. It's more likely they win a title than it is they win 50 games probably at any point in my life, which is, you know, both are zero, but it's crazy that they can't even do that.
Sheesh.
It was a big watch. The peak of the John Wall era was a 49 win season, and everyone was on the edge of their seats as they lost the final game there.
That's so crazy to be like that peak was 49 games. Like,
And the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Pistons have 45 wins right now.
Yeah. Like, the Pistons.
And the season's not.
And we don't even like. I'm not even certain they're that good.
Pretty honest, the Bucks were in like the same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even like pre, you know, it took like, it was like year three Giannis where it was like, oh, this guy's an all-star, not just like a fun, lanky kid.
Yeah. And before the Warriors dynasty, I mean, the best thing that ever happened was We Believe.
Yeah.
And that wasn't like we accomplished. It was just that We Believe something might happen one day.
Especially since the Warriors became like a, you know, an all-time successful franchise now with the Steph era, the pathetic list is really pretty much Wizards, Kings, and depending if you can give the Hornets a pass because they've existed for less time, really, if you want. But Wizards, Kings are kind of in it. Maybe Clippers.
Grizzlies might be on that list too.
Clippers
at least had the Showtime era, which was like, at least they were fun to watch.
They've had some really elite teams. I mean, the Clippers had elite teams that ran.
It's just they're a wrong time team.
Yeah, they ran into also other great teams. Like the Chris Paul Clippers are a team that has not existed for the Wizards since 1978, which again is just, again, there's only one stat. Anyone who listened to the pod before the hiatus knows it. There's only one stat that matters, and it's that the San Antonio Spurs won 50 games a year at a minimum for 20 straight years, starting in like 2000 or 99, only shortened season stopping them, and they were still on a 50-win pace. And the Wizards haven't done it in what is about to, in 48 years. So one team in the NBA was capable of doing it for 20 years in a row, and another team hasn't done it in 50. I just feel like that's the gap between the top and the bottom.
Are we really just talking about money laundering schemes at
this point? I mean, it is, right? Like, what else?
Yeah. Yeah. So Nathan has been watching the Kings for the last few years and following them. So, Nathan, now it's your turn.
I was just looking. The Kings have only been in the playoffs 3 times in my entire life. I've only been able to see one of them. They lost in the first round against the Warriors, another team I like. So that was kind of just like a weird.
That was the Light the Beam year, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
God, that was fun.
The Mike Brown.
I mean, that was a fun season.
Yeah, it's so crazy that they fired Mike Brown.
What did he do? I mean, he overachieved. That was the mistake he made.
It feels like that, because then the whole thing was like, and then trading Fox away, because Fox said, if you fire him, you better get rid of me. Like, and they're like, all right,
we'll shoot ourselves in both feet.
Yeah. So, Nathan, do you feel like they will recover it in some point of time?
I mean, I'm really not sure. I mean, from trading De'Aaron Fox, we got Zach LaVine, so we just kind of like try to recreate that Bulls team that was famously pretty bad.
Yep.
Any year now for Zach LaVine.
Yep.
$47 million.
Still a better prospect than Andrew Wiggins, am I right, folks? Come on, let's get in on this. Oh.
I have to imagine over summer, LaVine is gone.
I hope so.
He's one of those dudes I'm not even convinced wants to like be in the NBA.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Wiggins in some ways, where like clearly exceptionally talented individuals, but like kind of always stuck on these teams that are just like meh. And I feel like that takes your love out. Like Wiggins, when we can tell he's like, oh, I love this shit. He's so good. And then when things are not that good, it's like, what do we hear about him? You know, have we heard anything about him since he was on the Heat?
No.
And that team sucks, you know?
Heat culture isn't doing it this year.
Man, that's a whole other episode.
Does it take more than conditioning to win NBA games? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I also, so the new Kings GM, before he joined the team, was on record saying that LaVine's contract is one of the worst in the league. And then takes the job for the team that had just taken on that contract.
That's the
I'd take the job too. I'm shocked they hired him. Like, that's more the issue, that the team offered him the job after that.
Did you see the Bills press conference when they the owner was like, one of the reasons we fired our coach is because of how bad our receiver is? And the GM was sitting up there and had to, like, do damage control. Was like, no,
we
don't think our receiver stinks, actually. He's going to have a really good year for us next year.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, how different do we think this team could be in a year?
Have they looked back into trying 4-on-5 again?
Yeah. I can't believe they did that, too.
Steve Colin Sexton on the team. He played 2-on-5 once. He knows how it goes.
True.
And almost won that game.
I feel like as long as Sabonis is there, you're pretty much still doing 4-on-5.
Yeah.
He's a great offensive player, but I watch him play defense, and that means I'm not watching him play defense.
I was about to say, you don't watch him play defense.
Yeah.
I feel like the Kings, even though they're like the worst team in the West right now, it feels like the team has been in a worse place. Like, towards like the very, right before the Light the Beam like season, we had them like the Luke Walton era.
Oh, yeah, like Vlade and like Luke Walton era.
Oh, my God. The Puke Walton.
Yeah,
Puke Walton.
Who's the Kings coach? I'm not aware of that individual.
Yeah, they had Slamson the Lion clean up a guy's vomit.
My poor Slamson.
I can't believe they made him do that.
That feels like that can't be in the job description.
Audience.
Don't they have guys that can do that?
That really sums up how
some of those mascots are like doing like flips and stuff, and like they have them like drop down from the ceiling.
Yeah, like go through tables.
Yeah, and like they're doing stunts and like dunking. And he's
Slamson's
like,
getting his paws sopping wet with.
Pie. Yeah.
Like, Slamson, that's not in character. Lick it up. You're a lion, damn it.
I will say, though, it is nice to see Westbrook like having some good games.
I'll root for him forever unless he's done something insanely problematic that I miss.
I mean, joining the Kings.
Well. He was also a wizard, so I already knew that about him.
Okay, fair. That's fair. All right, are we should we wrap it up here? It's been a cool minute.
I think so.
All right. Well, it's good to be back.
That feels great, man.
We got some very different stuff lined up soon too. Do some more focused deep dive episodes.
Slamson interview.
We'll try to. Yeah, maybe we can get a hold of Slamson.
Yeah, voice distortion though, so we don't figure out who.
Yeah. I'm gonna wrap it with our interesting find of the week, which someone found this on Facebook Marketplace. It is a Kelly Oubre Jr. Sixers signed basketball, one of one, dated for the day of the ref incident, if you remember that, in which he told the refs, "You're a bitch, you're a bitch, your mom is a bitch." Now, I did check the certification number. There is a legitimate certification number on this,
mm-hmm.
but the ball. Of the signed basketball, it just says, "You're a bitch."
How much do you have to pay for the right to be called a bitch by your basketball?
I don't know, but they're selling it for $250 on Marketplace.
If he could sign the gif of him saying it, I would buy that. But I guess that's kind of like an NFT, and I didn't get into those.
That's fair.
Offer $175.
Okay.
Send a low ball.
Yeah, low ball it.
See if you can combo it with the Portland Trailblazers jacket into a deal. price off there.
Well, thanks everyone for anyone listening. Good to be back. Love you guys, like specifically that I'm talking to right now. But also, if you're listening, we love you too.